Greetings, my friends. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice together at the beginning of this new year and all that it promises for the people of God and for our world. My name is Carol Cavan Dillon. I'm the senior pastor here at West End United Methodist Church, and it's my joy and privilege to welcome you to this time of worship. I wanted to share with you some announcements and then introduce our preacher for the morning, whom I am thrilled for you to meet and to hear from today. First of all, by way of announcements, if you have been worshiping with us online for the past few months or even prior to our going online and have been praying about becoming officially a member of West End, we're going to be starting a new member class on January 10th, next Sunday. And you can send an email to Reverend Erin Racine. Her name and email should be appearing in the chat right now, or you can find her through our website going to the staff link and email her that way and let her know you're interested in participating in that virtual new member class, which will last for 4 weeks starting next Sunday. Our children's choirs are starting back up this Wednesday. So if you participated last fall, you don't need to re-register. But if you have a child who would like to start for the first time in children's choirs, there's more information on that at our website and also in the Friday emails that hopefully you are already receiving. And we look forward to another great semester with our children in their choirs. I want to say a word to you about the passing of the peace moment in our service. During the month of January, we're going to be sharing the peace with Methodists from all over the globe. You'll be seeing Methodists who are living all over our planet passing you the peace in their own language. So see if you can guess which languages they're speaking. And as we pass the peace together, take a moment to pray for the peace of our world as we hear from other Methodists across the globe. Finally, I just want to introduce to you my friend, Reverend Carlos Urroza, who will be preaching among us this morning. Carlos is the pastor at Woodbine United Methodist Church and a graduate of Vanderbilt Divinity School just across the street. He is married to Sarah and they have a 6-year-old son named Luke. And he is a wonderful preacher, a man of faith, and a good friend. And I just look forward to what God will say to us through Reverend Urroza this morning. So let us open our hearts and minds to all that worship brings to us this day.
Do Thou raise us by find the babe born in Bethlehem. Where will we find the child of Christmas?
Where those in need find hope, and where the oppressed are set free.
Where will we find the Christ who has come for us?
Where grace overcomes fear, and love overcomes hate.
Come, let us worship the hope of the world. God makes all things new. God can turn our weeping into laughter, our sorrow into joy. Let us come now with our sins, trusting that God will hear us and forgive and show us a new way. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love, however we may do so today, and share this moment with our siblings from around the world.
Guds frid vare med er.
Kamaluhia oke akua ni oe.
Ang kapayapaan ng Panginoon ay sumainyong lahat.
Jambo, tunamisalimu nini wote kwa jina la Yesu. Neema na salama ya Bwana wetu Yesu Kristo iwe nani wote. Amen.
Ke ya teki mautolo, ai melino, ai eki, opasu.
Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel of Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Invite all of our children and our younger viewers to move a little closer to the screen for a few moments as we talk. You know, this season of Christmastide, and it is still Christmastide, I don't know if you know that, but Christmas goes on for 12 days after the first day of Christmas on the 25th, and so we're still in the middle of the Christmas season, and this is a gift-giving season. And let me tell you something, at my house, it's even more of a gift-giving season because I have two daughters that some of you may know, and my daughters, they both have birthdays around this time of year. One of their birthdays is on December 20th, one is on December 30th, so we just have presents and presents for weeks and weeks. In fact, my daughter was still celebrating her birthday last night. And so there are presents all over our house, and it's so fun to get presents. I bet you've gotten some really cool presents at Christmas time as well. Well, one of the neat things about the story that we heard today of the three wise persons, or really in the Bible, it doesn't say there were just three, but we get that number because there were three gifts that these wise persons bring to Jesus. These wise persons who were watching the sky and noticed a star that led them to something special. And they went and they talked to King Herod and they said, "We are going to go see this child who is to be born a king." And the king was not happy about that because the king didn't want there to be any other kings. And so he actually asked these three wise persons to come back and tell him where this child was. So the three wise persons went on their way, or more wise persons, but they brought three gifts. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But you know what I think the most special gift they gave Jesus was? We don't think about it as the most special gift, but the gift that they gave the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph in that time was that they protected them. Instead of going back to King Herod and telling King Herod where the baby Jesus was, because they knew King Herod wasn't going to be very happy with this new child that had been born that was going to be called a king, they went a different route and they did not report back to Herod. And that allowed Jesus and his family to escape the evil plans of the king. Now, as I thought about that this week, I thought that is the most special gift that the wise persons gave. However many wise persons they were, they were smart enough to look out for this vulnerable baby Jesus and this family that was just beginning to figure out the wonderful things that were going to happen in their lives and in the lives of Jesus. I think that's something you can think about today, that one of the greatest gifts you can give in your life with your friends and the people you know at school and wherever you are is to look out for those people that might be vulnerable, that might need some help. One of the greatest gifts you could ever give is to look out for others. And that's exactly what the wise persons did for Jesus and the Holy Family. Would you pray for me and with me? Gracious God, we give thanks for this wonderful time of celebration and of joy. You offer us the great gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And that great gift was honored in the actions of the wise persons who looked out for Jesus and the Holy Family's safety. Lord, help us all, and especially our children and young persons gathered here today, remember that to look out for others and to take care of those who might be vulnerable or might need some help is one of the most special gifts that we can give. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. All right, now I'm going to turn things over to my good friend Carlos, and he's going to bring the word for us.
It is an honor to be here today, to be able to bring the word to you, and I am so thankful for the friendship that we have in the connection in the United Methodist Church and for the honor that this congregation is giving me to preach this morning for all the staff and the pastoral staff. I'm thankful for that. Thank you. I want to tell you that the scripture that we read today is very special to me. Like many countries in Latin America, I grew up in a place where Epiphany is a big deal. Every year, families gather together to break and to partake what we call King's Cake and to enjoy each other's families. It is even more special for children, as on the 9th of January the 5th, children go to bed with the expectation that in the morning when they wake up, they will find an array of gifts or toys brought by them, not other, but by the my guy. Just as Santa Claus, the wise person from the East, have a special power to get children to go to bed early, the eve of Epiphany, and to wake up as early as 5 in the morning to be amazed by gifts. You know, I've come to learn over the years that Epiphany is more than that. It is so powerful. It is the powerful story that reveals God's plan to reestablish a relationship, not just with a few, but with the whole creation. Epiphany is the manifestation of a Savior to the Gentiles so that you and I can have the same gift, the gift of a child. Epiphany is the clear example of our doctrine, of a United Methodist doctrine of prevenient grace that begins to work in the life of a person before they even meet Jesus. However, for this grace to take hold on our lives, it requires something, and that is a response and action. We know the Magi were astronomers, but even for them, after the sudden revelation in the sky, they had to gain enough interest to take a giant leap of faith, to travel miles and miles to worship a king that was not theirs. Hebrews 11:1 illustrates faith as the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. We have heard this story many times, but every year I arrive to the same question. What kind of power can motivate people, complete strangers, to walk miles and miles into the unknown? And what were this wise person's hope? We cannot know for sure, but I believe that what the scripture teaches today is that we have to live a life like the Magi, to make our priority that we become aware of our surroundings and make ourselves available to God's revelation. A few years back, I was teaching at a Bible study for the First Hispanic Methodist Church. And while we were reading, it was during Advent season, the angels, I'm sorry, I completely forgot to remove my mask. But when I was teaching that Bible study of Advent, I made the comment that the word angel simply translates as messengers. And that comment is that just as messengers, angels equals or translate as messengers. So that comment erupted in a laughter by someone in the back. That person, with a very sarcastic, laughing undertone, said, "There's no way I can grow wings, or for sure I know that I cannot keep a white dress clean for more than 30 minutes. So no, I am not even close to be an angel." And after a few back and forth, I realized that underneath that sarcastic laughter, there was that feeling that she did not feel worthy of being a messenger of God, a messenger of the good news. And so today, I wonder how many people feel that way. You know, it's easier to leave it to perhaps those who have experience, to whether those who have that gift of an evangelistic gift of the Spirit. Because sometimes maybe we don't know how to engage into conversations. Sometimes we don't know if we are saying the right things. You know, of course, I understood that when I brought doing this Bible study, that becoming or being an angel, I know that it was a tall order. It's something so high for us to achieve. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to challenge them. I wanted to challenge them to become messengers of hope. So I told the study, the people that were in attendance, that if they could make themselves available to see what God can do through them, so how others can get to see God's light through them. You know, that seems so vague to ask them, but it requires an effort. You know, to get up in the morning and from the very beginning just pray to God to say, "God, reveal yourself so that I can be an instrument of your grace." You know, that is risky, especially when we know there's so much unknown. But that is faith. That is faith. So the next Sunday, I saw that woman who erupted in laughter during that Bible study. She came to worship, sat in her usual place, center of the sanctuary, middle row. And I remember that on that day, she looked a little anxious. And I noticed that she was constantly looking to the back, just waiting to see, looking towards the door. Every time that there was a sound or a noise in the sanctuary, she would turn around. And just before I was beginning to preach my sermon, a visitor, came through the back door, saw her, and sat next to her. I wish I could just illustrate her face. It was that smile of disbelief, but also she was in amazement. She was in awe of what had happened. After the sermon, I made an invitation if anybody needed to pray. And so this man came and kneeled at the altar, and he was in tears, and he said something like, "Today has been a good day. I need to know more about God. I need to feel more of God's presence in my life." And so after worship, I had an opportunity to connect with him, to talk a little bit about his life. And he shared an incredible story. He told me that a few months before that encounter, he had fallen deeply into alcoholism. And that resulted in a terrible incident of domestic violence. He was telling me that he knew by now that God understood that he needed to be locked up for a while. Someone shared the word to him while he was in jail, and he did not want it to accept it. At one point, he had the opportunity to leave early. And he said, "In my head, I was still so angry. I wanted to get out of this place, and I was seeking, in a way, revenge for those who thought had transgressed against me." And just before I was supposed to be released, he said, the judge changed his mind and he spent a few more months in jail. He said, I needed those extra months there because it was in that moment that I realized that something needed to change within me. I didn't like what I see. I didn't like the way I was going to react as soon as I was going to leave this place. And so he became receptive, and he made the commitment to make himself available to what God was trying to do in his life. But you know, he wanted to change his life, but having the hope to change is not the same as actually hoping and acting on changing. So he had the opportunity to be released. And once he was out, the body started to ask for that vice that kept him in so much darkness. And so he got up one morning, went to the usual convenience store, grabbed a couple items for him to eat for breakfast, and his usual six-pack at 6 a.m. in the morning. But as he came into that convenience store that morning, he realized that something was different. You know, something was revealing inside of him, an insight, a self-reflection, however you want to label it, let's call it an act of God that was speaking to him. So he tells me how he spent minutes going back and forth through the aisles of this convenience store, which he knew by memory. At some point, he remembers that he even had the six-pack already in his hand, and then he realized that at some point, he returned it to the fridge. And so for the store clerk, that seems very suspicious. Even though he was a usual customer, he had not the clerk had not seen him in a long time. But at some point, he came back to the front desk and saw the clerk. And he was shaking. And this man had a question that said, do you believe in God? He was asking the clerk, do you believe in God? And the clerk was taken back by this question, especially coming from this customer that the clerk knew. The clerk replied, yes, I do. And then it came a second question where this man asked, do you go to church? And she replied, yes. And it was then when the clerk remembered the conversation that she had had at church at a Bible study to make herself available to God's revelation. It was in that moment when she realized that she didn't need to have wings or wear white to become a messenger of hope. It was then that she took a leap of faith and invited a stranger to come to worship. The man's epiphany became clear after that internal battle from within, amplified when the body began to ask for a fix. But the mind wanted to change, and then he had to make a decision. The man's epiphany became more evident when he entered the store and he heard a music playing, this woman singing a song of worship that shook his core. And for the other side, I see this woman's epiphany became evident when she was confronted by God to act upon this revelation. Epiphany became real when that woman realized that she was worthy of being a messenger of hope. It was then when these two strangers, complete strangers, were sitting next to each other worshiping God together. The epiphany, the gift of a Savior for the broken world. How incredible it is that we get to be part of it. My brothers and sisters, we can hope for a better year. Or we can hope and do everything we can to make it a great year. Not just for you, but for others, so that others may see the light of God. I know that we are tired to hear how hard 2020 was, but I know that some of you are hurting and some of you are tired. But the reality is that today more than ever, humanity needs an epiphany. That humanity needs the church. The church needs you, just like the Magi. Make the effort to be aware of your surroundings and make yourself available for God's revelation. And take the giant leap of faith. Because be sure that even in the unknown, God is with us. God is with us. Praise be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal, a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated if you are standing. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. You may also leave your prayer requests in the chat on the live stream feed, but just remember that those are public forums. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of many gifts, this morning, as we celebrate the wise ones who came to bring you their offerings, we too bring you our gifts. Sometimes we may feel as if we don't have much to offer you, O Christ. But we know that you love us, that you rejoice in our company. So this morning, we offer you ourselves. And we give you thanks that you receive us with open arms. We pray this day for those for whom the new year brings uncertainty and dread rather than hope and new beginnings. We pray for those who are sick, for those who are lonely, for those who are struggling with addiction, for those who are seeking employment, for those whose relationships seem broken beyond repair. We pray for those who are hungry and cold, for those in prison, and for those who suffer violence. Holy Spirit, grant each of these the assurance of your presence and comfort, and give them your peace. We pray for our world, that our leaders might seek the flourishing of all people, and that your peace might reign. O God, you set a star in the sky to show the way to your Son, Jesus Christ. Lead us to open us to your revelation, that we might share our gifts with those around us, and in doing so, that we might be messengers of hope to all the world. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, best gift divine. Amen. We have offered ourselves to the newborn Christ. Let us now offer the gifts of our tithes and offerings, that God might use them in this place and throughout the world. You can give through our website, or you can text to give. You can also mail in a check. We recognize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this day.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth in the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide wise persons to where the Christ was born. And in your signs and witness in every age and through all the world, you have led your people from far places to his light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And now we pray as Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, we have an open table, which means that anyone who is feeling led to respond to the grace of Jesus Christ may partake in this meal. So I hope that you have gathered whatever elements you have in your midst and you've brought them close at this time, so that in a few moments we may all share in this holy meal together. It is our tradition at West End that each month we have a communion offering that goes to a special place or a special cause. And January's communion offering will support our partners at Project Transformation. Project Transformation is an organization which engages young adults in purposeful leadership and ministry, supports children in holistic development, and connects churches to communities through their summer reading program. West End is a Nashville foundational partner. If you would like to make an offering at this time to Project Transformation, you may simply do that the same way you made your other offering and indicate that it should be for Project Transformation, or you may send a check to the church and just put Project Transformation in the foreline. Now, this table is set before us and is open to all who love the Lord. The body of Christ, broken for us all. And the blood of Christ, given for all of us. Please come. All things are ready for us to partake in this meal.
Thank you.
You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves to others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen.
People of God, may the Spirit of the Lord be with you wherever you go, and that you may yourself available and be ready to act upon and take the leap of faith, whatever God is calling you to be light in this world. May the Spirit of God protect you for every single day of your life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.